Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation today is with Stan Sinclair, Dean of the Department of Veterans Affairs Learning University and Chief Learning Officer at the Veterans Health Administration. Welcome, Stan.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And joining us in our conversation is Greg Grieben, also a PwC partner.
Hello.
Well, Stan, let's start by finding out more about your roles at VA. Could you tell us about your role as the Dean and also the Chief Learning Officer?
Sure. The Dean of the VA Learning University is a new organization, a new title. It's about a year or so old, but it was put in place to try to bring the department to more of a one VA look at cross-cutting learning objectives across the department. For example, areas like finance, IT, procurement, HR, public affairs. What we were interested in doing was bringing together resources to handle cross-cutting learning issues for the department. Also in that, we wanted to create that in a virtual or an electronic environment. So that's a summary of what VALUE is designed to accomplish. In VHA, in the employee education system, we're in the business of providing learning for all the employees in the health administration. That spans across 172-plus hospitals, 600 outpatient clinics, and numbers somewhere just under 200,000 employees.
Stan, let's spend some time talking about your career. When did you start with VA and what positions have you held?
I started with the VA around 1976, 1977 as a counseling psychologist. This was in the Veterans Benefits Administration. From there, I moved into Veterans Services Division and then on into adjudication where I served as a rating specialist. From there, I had an opportunity to move over into the finance world in debt management. Provided the department with the current debt management system that they're using, and then from there went into program analysis and evaluation. About 8 years ago, I was asked to become the deputy for management for the department, served in that position for 7 years. There, quite a bit going on in the world of IT as well as finance, procurement, and financial policy. And then on to recently, about a year ago, became the Dean of the Learning University.
How has the culture of VA changed since you started?
I think it's changed significantly. I know back in the 70s and 80s, we were really wrestling with technology. We seemed to be really under the gun of trying to produce more and more end products, so to speak. I don't think as an organization, we're embracing technology and the possibilities of improving our service to veterans in the way that we could have. Today, I think that, you know, there's much more of a willingness on the part of the leadership to understand the role of technology, to understand the benefit of how we can benefit the veterans with technology without losing that personal contact.
How do you think the culture might change in the future?
I think that in the future, you're going to see a culture that's going to be much more open to changes. I hear as everyday business around VHA, there's telemedicine going on. We're continuing to take more and more treatment to veterans. By that, I mean without patient clinics. I think we're much more engaged in the needs of the veteran population than we've ever been. And I don't think that's going to stop. Across VHA right now, we are looking for a quest for excellence where we're looking to continue to improve quality. And so I think that in the future, you're going to see a higher quality environment. By quality, I mean in service to veterans. I think you're going to see a better trained workforce. And I think you're going to see leadership that's very much into creating an environment that's conducive for everyone to be a leader and for everyone to have an impact on the direction of our organization.
What factors drove you into your current position and involvement with VA's learning initiatives?
Well, you know, I've kind of gone in a full circle. When you start out as a counseling psychologist where your primary function was to help veterans select appropriate career fields and educational routes, you find that, you know, you realize very early on that you are a learning human being and that critical to the success not just of a person but of an organization is the knowledge that a person and the organization has. So I find it an honor to be in a position now as I enter into my soon-be 30th year of service. I really find it an honor to be in a position to have an impact on the service that we give to veterans through knowledge and through education. I personally think it's a real challenge for us.
In your years of government service, what qualities have you observed as key characteristics of good leadership?
Well, I think the first of all, a good leadership organization has to have some fundamental core values, things like trust, respect, commitment, integrity. But at the bottom of that, I think, is also a leadership that's very visionary, that's always thinking about down the road, and not just a year or two, but out into the future. I think that if you have leadership that demonstrates that, you will find a whole lot of employees that are more than willing to follow that type of leadership style.
What positions or challenges help you fine-tune your leadership skills?
I think the biggest lesson I had to learn along the ways was to embrace technology. I mean, clearly what happens is as you're coming along, in particular when you don't have a lot of money to be creative with technology, I don't think that leaders in government or myself ever really had the opportunity to take advantage of that. Even back when in the late 80s when we were working in designing a debt management system, at that time we were looking at doing it on our own instead of going out and trying to buy a software package that might do it for us or partnering with another government entity. So I think where I've matured the most is personally in the areas of really beginning to embrace technology for the good of the objectives and the goals of the organization.
Well, let me push on that a little bit. How did you learn to embrace technology?
Well, you have a success mixed with a failure. It took about 3 years for us in the VA to design a debt management system, and it was really awesome. By that I mean it would do everything that we needed for it to do, from offset IRS refunds to go to credit reporting agencies, to go to justice. It had every avenue that we wanted. As soon as we had done this project, within about 3 months, I was invited by a small company to come up outside of Shady Grove to talk with them about a product they had. They demonstrated a product that would do everything that we had just spent years building. And the lesson there is that I could have bought that system at a fraction of the price of what it cost us to develop it. So, I think that's where you learn. You learn in a lesson to where you spend a lot of time doing something that others on the outside may already have the expertise to do and can really do much more cost effectively.
Yet at the same time, technology cuts both ways. It perhaps replaces employees and forces them to get new skills. How, as a leader, would you have dealt with that?
Well, we had to deal with that. Realistically, though, what happens is where technology really benefits us, it may replace employees. But in reality, what it does is it gives us a much larger return on investment. Through training, through cross-training, I've yet to see in anything that I've been involved in where an employee has lost a job. We've been able to redirect their skills, retrain them, cross-train them, and actually they're in a position now that's much more useful for us as an organization. So it's not a problem balancing that if you really work toward the goals.
What advice would you give to another leader who is contemplating the decision you just described, buying something off the shelf that may or may not get you exactly all that you want, but is much cheaper and easier to do versus growing it yourself?
I would give a couple of pieces of advice. One is be careful not to reinvent the wheel that you've had in place for years. I think that we in government tend to, when we talk about reinventing something, we're talking about just applying technology to a process, to where what we need to do is to really look at cycle time reduction, revamp, forget the process, come up with a new way of looking at that and doing business, and then apply the technology. The gains that you get there are several, but in reality, if you go out and you buy a product that you're going to customize, it ends up in the long run costing you significantly to do that. So in essence, you have wasted your time, and what you have when it's over is a computer application or a software application of the process that you've had in place all along. You really have to think past that.
I'm talking with Stan Sinclair. This is the Business of Government Hour. We'll rejoin our conversation in just a few minutes.